Chapter 14 Snape's Grudge. No one in Gryffindor Tower slept that night. They knew that the castle was being searched again, and the whole house stayed awake in the common room, waiting to hear whether Black had been caught. Professor McGonagall came back at dawn to tell them that he had again escaped. Everywhere they went next day they saw signs of tighter security. Professor Flitwick could be seen teaching the front doors to recognize a large picture of Sirius Black. Filch was suddenly bustling up and down the corridors, boarding up everything from tiny cracks in the walls to mouse holes. Sir Cadogan had been sacked. His portrait had been taken back to its lonely landing on the seventh floor, and the fat lady was back. She had been expertly restored, but was still extremely nervous, and had only agreed to return to her job on condition that she was given extra protection. A bunch of surly security trolls had been hired to guard her. They paced the corridor in a menacing group, talking in grunts and comparing the size of their clubs. Harry couldn't help noticing that the statue of the one-eyed witch on the third floor remained unguarded and unblocked. It seemed that Fred and George had been right in thinking that they, and now Harry, Ron, and Hermione, were the only ones who knew about the hidden passageway within it. "Do you reckon we should tell someone?" Harry asked Ron. "We know he's not coming in through Honeydukes," said Ron dismissively. "We'd have heard if the shop had been broken into." Harry was glad Ron took this view. If the one-eyed witch was boarded up too, he would never be able to go into Hogsmeade again. Ron had become an instant celebrity. For the first time in his life, people were paying more attention to him than to Harry, and it was clear that Ron was rather enjoying the experience. Though still severely shaken by the night's events, he was happy to tell anyone who asked what had happened, with a wealth of detail. "I was asleep, and I heard this ripping noise, and I thought it was in my dream, you know. But then there was this draught. I woke up, and one side of the hangings on my bed had been pulled down. I rolled over, and I saw him, standing over me, like a skeleton, with loads of filthy hair, holding this great long knife. Must have been 12 inches, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and then I yelled, and he scarpered." "Why, though?" Ron added to Harry, as the group of second-year girls who had been listening to his chilling tale departed. "Why did he scarper?" Harry had been wondering the same thing. Why had Black, having got the wrong bed, not silenced Ron and proceeded to Harry? Black had proved 12 years ago that he didn't mind murdering innocent people, and this time he had been facing 5 unarmed boys, 4 of whom were asleep. "He must have known he'd have a job getting back out of the castle once you'd yelled and woken people up," said Harry thoughtfully. "He'd have had to kill the whole house to get back through the portrait hole. Then he would have met the teachers." Neville was in total disgrace. Professor McGonagall was so furious with him she had banned him from all future Hogsmeade visits, given him a detention, and forbidden anyone to give him the password into the tower. Poor Neville was forced to wait outside the common room every night for somebody to let him in, while the security trolls leered unpleasantly at him. None of these punishments, however, came close to matching the one his grandmother had in store for him. 2 days after Black's break-in, she sent Neville the very worst thing a Hogwarts student could receive over breakfast—a howler. The school owls swooped into the great hall, carrying the post as usual, and Neville choked as a huge barn owl landed in front of him, a scarlet envelope clutched in its beak. Harry and Ron, who were sitting opposite him, recognized the letter as a howler at once. Ron had got one from his mother the year before. "Run for it, Neville," Ron advised. Neville didn't need telling twice. He seized the envelope, and holding it before him like a bomb, sprinted out of the hall, while the Slytherin table exploded with laughter at the sight of him. They heard the howler go off in the entrance hall, Neville's grandmother's voice, magically magnified to 100 times its usual volume, shrieking about how he had brought shame on the whole family. Harry was too busy feeling sorry for Neville to notice immediately that he had a letter too. Hedwig got his attention by nipping him sharply on the wrist. "Ouch! Oh, thanks, Hedwig." Harry tore open the envelope while Hedwig helped herself to some of Neville's cornflakes. The note inside said, "Dear Harry and Ron, how about having tea with me this afternoon, round 6? I'll come and collect you from the castle. Wait for me in the entrance hall. You're not allowed out on your own. Cheers, Hagrid."
"He probably wants to hear all about Black," said Ron.
So, at 6 o'clock that afternoon, Harry and Ron left Gryffindor Tower, passed the security trolls at a run, and headed down to the entrance hall. Hagrid was already waiting for them.
"All right, Hagrid," said Ron. "Suppose you want to hear about Saturday night, do you?"
"I've already heard all about it,"
said Hagrid, opening the front doors and leading them outside.
"Oh," said Ron, looking slightly put out.
The first thing they saw on entering Hagrid's cabin was Buckbeak, who was stretched out on top of Hagrid's patchwork quilt, his enormous wings folded tight to his body, enjoying a large plate of dead ferrets. Averting his eyes from this unpleasant sight, Harry saw a gigantic hairy brown suit and a very horrible yellow and orange tie hanging from the top of Hagrid's wardrobe door.
"What are they for, Hagrid?" said Harry.
"Buckbeak's case against the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures," said Hagrid. "This Friday, him and me'll be going down to London together. I've booked 2 beds on the night bus."
Harry felt a nasty pang of guilt. He had completely forgotten that Buckbeak's trial was so near, and judging by the uneasy look on Ron's face, he had too. They had also forgotten their promise about helping him prepare Buckbeak's defence. The arrival of the firebolt had driven it clean out of their minds. Hagrid poured them tea and offered them a plate of Bath buns, but they knew better than to accept. They had had too much experience of Hagrid's cooking.
"I got something to discuss with you two,"
said Hagrid, sitting himself between them and looking uncharacteristically serious.
"What?"
said Harry.
"Hermione,"
said Hagrid.
"What about her?"
said Ron.
"She's in a right state, that's what. She's been coming down to visit me a lot since Christmas, been feeling lonely. First you weren't talking to her because of the firebolt. Now you're not talking to her because her cat ate Scabbers,"
Ron interjected angrily.
"Because her cat acted like all cats do,"
Hagrid continued doggedly.
"She's cried a fair few times, you know. Going through a rough time at the moment, bitten off more than she can chew, if you ask me, all the work she's trying to do. Still found time to help me with Buckbeak's case, mind. She's found some really good stuff for me. Reckon he'll stand a good chance now."
"Hagrid, we should have helped as well. Sorry," Harry began awkwardly.
"I'm not blaming you," said Hagrid, waving Harry's apology aside. "God knows you've had enough to be getting on with. I've seen you practising Quidditch every hour of the day and night, but I've got to tell you, I thought you two'd value your friend more than broomsticks or rats. That's all."
Harry and Ron exchanged uncomfortable looks.
"Really upset she was when Black nearly stabbed you, Ron. She got her heart in the right place, Hermione has, and you two not talking to her.
If she'd just get rid of that cat, I'd speak to her again," Ron said angrily. "But she's still sticking up for it. It's a maniac, and she won't hear a word against it."
"Ah, well, people can be a bit stupid about their pets,"
said Hagrid wisely. Behind him, Buckbeak spat a few ferret bones onto Hagrid's pillow. They spent the rest of their visit discussing Gryffindor's improved chances for the Quidditch Cup. At 9 o'clock, Hagrid walked them back up to the castle. A large group of people was bunched around the notice board when they returned to the common room.